This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White. Continuing our studies in Matthew's Gospel, as Dr. Wyatt will expound on a subject rarely touched upon, but should be.
Thank you, Dennis. Yes, I will continue with the theme of discipleship. Sharon will be reading from Matthew, the 10th chapter, and I ask you if what Jesus prophesies for disciples is what we have bargained for.
Behold, I am sending you out as sheep into the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. You will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speaks, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Beware, brother will deliver brother over to death, the father to his child, and children will be raised against parents to have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved.
Thank you, Sharon. I have asked my wife to read this small passage that follows the calling and mission of the 12. The similarities to the calling of the 70 are also obvious, as are the clear implication that what Jesus is saying is not confined to the 12, any more than what was said to the 70 was limited to them. These are, we will find, timeless instructions, promises, and what are, let us say it, the unvarnished cost of discipleship. This call to discipleship is not one of ease and comfort, as Jesus will tell these very disciples a little later. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. If they have called the master of the house of Beelzebub, how much more will they malign those of his house? In our self-absorbed world, such a calling, such a prospect is not what many who fill our pews have bargained for. If you are familiar with T.R. Tolkien's trilogy, The Lord of the Rings, the books have sold worldwide, and it was made into a series of films not long ago. It all depicts an allegorical fantasy called Middle Earth, and here Tolkien's hero is a hobbit, a small, timid creature who loves their homey comforts, good food, and fellowship. They are not known to be adventurous, but one, Bilbo Baggins, is suddenly thrust unwillingly into a cosmic struggle between good and evil, one in which he must undertake, and with a handful of friends does, for the future of their world hangs in the balance. Will Bilbo Baggins, who is too small, too weak, too timid, one completely out of his elements, succeed against the incredible and awesome forces of evil arrayed against him? Can you appreciate what the author would tell us in story form? Such allegories are not new to Christianity. John Bunyan's incomparable classic Pilgrim's Progress is another Christian allegory written when Bunyan was imprisoned for his faith in 1666. Both of these stories are but two popular efforts to illustrate, while at the same time entertaining the readers, of the challenge and call of Christianity. Pilgrim's Progress is a struggle of our pilgrim to reach the celestial city while avoiding the snares of Worldwise, Vanity Fair, and many other pitfalls. Bunyan's book was once the most widely read book in the world next to the Bible. Tolkien's Lord of the Ring continues to engage a young audience unversed in this Christian imagery that is not as obvious as Pilgrim's Progress. All such stories, be they allegories now or in the first century, parables, were all designed to help illuminate the reality of our faith and the deeper meanings of discipleship. For our calling as disciples will see many pitfalls and distractions. And more, we are also engaged in, despite our deepest wishes, a great cosmic struggle. We are sent out as sheep amid wolves. And that is not a very pleasant picture. But nevertheless, our history as a worldwide movement gives credence to all such images. Not only does Jesus tell the disciples and as a result us what to expect, but how to behave, to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. The word wise here used to describe serpents is far too confining. It means to be astute, sharp, keen, discerning, even clever. This is not how we generally view our calling as disciples, but perhaps we should. What we should be told as disciples, and certainly what our Lord is saying here, indicates that what passes as normal, ordinary discipleship is far too limited. Also, we are to be harmless, as gentle, as innocent as doves. So our reaction or response to the world is complex. We are to be sharp, discerning, yet harmless and unstained by all that surrounds us. To use Martin Luther's words, we should be such as no one ever can have just cause against us. As disciples, we are meant to fully understand the situations we might be in, and what others are actually capable of doing to us, and avoid thoughtless or silly acts which can be misunderstood, and thus can inflame or hinder our mission. As disciples, as those few good men and women, we are to be special, wise, discerning, able to be uniquely used of God in our various callings, and yet to be harmless, approachable, and helpful. Of course, Jesus will not leave it there. Instead, he will be brutally honest. If they hate me, how do you think they will respond to you? This is not what most of us have bargained for in our Christian life. We expect, if we are to believe much that is prattled about or peddled as our faith, presented in humorous tomes and from lectern and pulpit, that it is a wonderful, joyous, peaceful, and rewarding life of promise. And indeed, it is all of those things. Yet, and listen, not to what I say, but to our Lord. Beware of them, for they will deliver you up to council, meaning various religious ruling bodies, and flog you in their synagogues. Can we also say they will verbally abuse and dismiss what you believe and stand for in your own churches? And you will be dragged before governors and kings, before the city councils, the courts, even the government, for my name's sake, there to bear witness, to testify before them, before Jews and the Gentiles. Yes, Jesus is speaking here to the 12, but note how Jesus is looking beyond them to the greater mission, the mission to the Gentile nations. And also note, none of this occurred during his ministry in Galilee. Jesus was looking beyond his ascension to the full ministry of the church. Once the early church began its mission in real earnest, all of this became intensely real, and it is so still. The words, "Do not be anxious on how you are to answer or what you should say, for it will all be given you by the Spirit of your Father, who by that Spirit will speak through you." This is a promise many have not only found reassuring, but have in fact experienced in life. Many have found themselves speaking in ways with eloquence and passion they did not know they possessed until the moment required it. Confronted with hostility, unruly crowds, agitated audiences, authorities bent on disrupting or ending a meeting, and then you find surely by and only because the Spirit of God was present in what one said, and that the Spirit brought conviction, rebuke, diverting the reluctant, even those hostile. One need not be on some foreign field confronted by brigands with clubs. It can be in an open meeting in the heartland of this country, and a group enters intent on disrupting the service, or even a Sunday morning service, and those enter with the sole desire to cause harm or mischief. Yet always the Spirit is able to guard, guide, and garner the victory. It is why I fear not for the future of God's church. Note, I said, God's church. This will not apply, nor will it mean anything to those who have deliberately and with obvious malice walked away from scriptural admonitions and biblical truth. It will not work for those who reject the reality of a living Christ and have no use for the actual leading of the Holy Spirit. They will have no defense for the onslaught of the enemy, and they will cave when dragged before the authorities and threatened with flogging. In fact, this I speak in spiritual wisdom. These that have abandoned scriptural truth, the resurrection, Christ's divinity, will in fact be those who will persecute, flog, tear at, and devour the faithful. The words of our Lord are too painfully clear and prophetic. Brother will deliver a brother to death, and father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated all for my name's sake. No, we did not necessarily bargain for this, but this is what we have. If they call the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they malign those of his household? But then, as always, our Lord calls upon the disciples, all disciples, to fear not. This is unmistakably a ringing note of confidence and assurance to all who will take up the cross and follow him. Don't fear any of those who malign, abuse, or persecute you, for nothing is covered or hidden. There are no secrets, no amount of cover-up, no avalanche of lies will prevent all from being revealed. And then again we hear, don't fear, even those who would take your life. Don't fear whatever they may threaten to do to you. They can but take your life. No, we did not necessarily bargain for this. But Satan's worst efforts are of no concern. For as Jesus will state, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And yet not one falls to the ground without the Father's will. Even our hairs are numbered. And again Jesus says, fear not. You, his people, those called by his name, those undergoing the very work of the kingdom, doing what we can to live out our lives in him, fear not. Are you not of more value than many sparrows? To acknowledge our Lord before others is to be acknowledged by Jesus Christ before the very Father. Yes, to deny him has the opposite effect, but let's stay with the positive and remember to fear not. Don't be afraid to speak up in defense of our Lord and Savior, to be versed in the truth that we might be effective tools in his hands, always ready to speak urgently in season and out, telling all of the gospel tidings. Just fear not. So don't ever be surprised at the response of others. Often the Spirit has already prepared the field before you, be it vast multitudes, one stranger, or a neighbor's family. Be prepared. Situations will arise and circumstances may change suddenly. A crisis, an illness, a sudden, perhaps the Spirit inspires a change of attitude, all of which will bring a ripened harvest before us. Then there will be those times that find only hardened hearts and minds, even hostility and perhaps violence. Just never be surprised. Be wise as serpents, for we are not above our master. If they did whatever they ultimately wanted with Jesus, if they called him of the devil, if they beat him, crucified him, how much more will they malign us, do whatever they can against us? Paul will state that he was beaten many times and will list all of the hardships and the catastrophes that he endured, all for the sake of Jesus Christ and the gospel. We are surely no more greatly blessed than Paul and the thousands that followed his like to suffer by sword, flame, or beast. The gospel will be proclaimed. It will not ultimately be suppressed. In the old Soviet Empire, once only the very elderly frequented the churches, praying for change, for God to move. Now the evil empire is no more, and many churches cannot accommodate the multitudes who want to hear the word of God. The gospel will be triumphant. Fear not. Did we bargain for the personal cost to us? Perhaps not, but perhaps we need such reminders. But fear not what others attempt to do. Fear not what even they do to you. Only God needs to be feared. Remain in his care, in his keeping, in his hands. The Lord of hosts, let him be your fear, your dread. Such is also the nature of our God. It is he who will confront us all with what is to me so very easy. Trust him who loves us. Conform to his will. The other choice is to laughingly play at what you think you desire and need, and then lose it all. For it is he that will bring it all to its just end. We may not have bargained for all that he lays out before us, but it is a reality. So acknowledge him before others, that he may acknowledge you before the Father, and be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. O Lord, let us indeed understand fully what we have been called to, and that above all, regardless of what we are confronted with, to fear not, you're with us, to give us the words to speak, to give us the strength to persevere, and the endowments and ability to always be victorious, all for your glory. Amen.
We should use all that he has provided for us and gifted us with for his service. It is what is meant by being a Christian. So this is the topic of Thomas's book, The Question of Discipleship. What is a disciple and what does it mean? This is an important study, one that should be in the hands of every Christian. So just write and ask for The Question of Discipleship. It can be yours at no charge.
We would like to thank those of you who so generously support this ministry and pray more of you will join our family so that we can reach out to more of God's children, that they may be fulfilled by hearing God's truths and promises, and these sheep will also be fed. The address is Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Also, secure contributions can be made on our website at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society, Post Office Box
34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, Postal Code V6H4N1. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you once more for all that you did do for us. And I appreciate as well this from Marie of California, who wrote this warm expression of thanks. Dr. Wyatt, I so appreciate your obvious passion for the truth and love of our Savior. It shows in every program and in your newsletter. Don't ever stop doing what you clearly so enjoy. We need to hear it. Well, thank you, Marie, and I have no thought of stopping. And please, if you have any needs, do let us know. I will be praying for you. Dennis will share our addresses at the close of the broadcast. But now, Mari and Mark perform Kathleen Sullivan's moving hymn, How Long, O Lord. So until next week, do embrace all that God has called us to.
My Lord, may I live.
This program is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries. This is a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel, done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. Please do write and remember that to stay on this station, Dr. Wyatt needs to hear from you. The address is Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. Wyatt at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, Postal Code V6H4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. And this week, Dr. Wyatt wants you to have a copy of his insightful book, The Question of Discipleship. Now, here is laid out so clearly just what the call of Christ entails and what it means to be a disciple. Do write and ask for your copy of The Question of Discipleship. It can be yours at no charge. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at the same time. And remember what God has promised to those who love Him.